The thing about phantom power is it needs to be on or your powered mics don't work.
What is phantom power?
I don't know, Andy. It's the switch on the back of there that powers the microphones.
It's a good thing it's on then.
Yes.
Is it on? I don't know.
It is now because we're recording.
Cool.
I'm going to lift this up a little.
Oh, yeah.
I need you to talk right into that motherfucker.
Like that?
Yeah.
Is that good?
I mean, it'll work.
I mean, okay.
I don't know why you're whispering, Andy.
Am I whispering?
I mean, you're talking. Andy! Welcome to episode 5?
I don't know.
4 or 5 of whatever this show is, where instead of me and Colin hanging out and talking about things me and Colin talk about, Andy comes with preparation and a list.
And a piece of paper.
A piece of paper with a script and an idea and a concept, and we bang out something. 30 minutes to 2 hours about wrestling.
Yeah.
My name is Trevor. I'm here with Andy. How's it going, buddy?
Hi, Trevor.
I just, I didn't record any of this, and I'm kind of regretting it now, but I just schooled Andy on the entire history of the many Robins.
You know that Batman is more complicated than the history of The Undertaker.
Well, Batman's been around for almost 100 years, so.
Still.
I mean, he was 1939?
I'm holding you to this. I'm never going to let you complain about fan service again.
Well, I'm going to do it anyway.
Sure, but I'm just going to be like, it's Batman's fault.
I mean, it's not bad.
It's 50s comics' fault.
All right. We can't get into this rabbit hole because we didn't record any of that. Andy, which list did you what are we talking about today?
We're going to talk about units.
Units.
Yeah, factions, whatever the hell you want to call them.
I would call them stables because I'm a wrestling fan, Andy.
Well, I'm a weeb, so we're calling them units.
Do they call stables units in Japan? Okay, so for anybody listening who doesn't follow wrestling, a stable is a... So you've got levels of things. You got a wrestler.
Yeah.
If they have a partner, they'll be a tag team usually. Yeah. There's two of them, sometimes a three-man tag team. Which is bordering on stable. Anything more than that is a stable. If you have a team of guys who are all like work together, they usually have fun, silly names for their faction. I'm going to do one thing to your microphone, Andy, because it's not pointed the right way. And now you'll be much better.
You're Trevor, the audio producer.
Yeah, now you'll sound way much better. You already do.
I wish we had a Sean.
I mean, we got me, and I can pull it off. Factions, stables, teams, whatever you want to call them.
Yeah.
There have been millions throughout wrestling history.
And there'll be a million more.
There'll be it sounds like there'll just be like the fucking one more for the rest of time.
Well, we're going to save that. We're going to save those comments, believe me.
Yeah, that's fair.
I want those juicy comments. Almost as much as I want Dave Meltzer to DM me.
All right, that's fair.
Now that we're on the same team, he saw the light.
Yeah.
I just want to fly to LA. We can go get some mochi together. We could talk about stardom. We could talk about how I was right and he was wrong.
All right. So what? How many are on this list? This is your top...
I did 10.
This is your top 10 favorite?
Yeah, or whatever.
Just 10 random stables you picked?
You know, the order goes up and down.
That's fair. But these are the 10 that you ended up putting on this list.
Yes.
In some particular order.
Yeah.
Fair enough.
You want to kick this off?
Let's just start in with Andy's number 10 stable.
This is kind of a tie because I can't decide.
You're already cheating.
Yes, because I want to.
But no, that's fair.
Tokyo Cyber Squad I put on here just because I love Hannah.
Andy.
Just because I love her and I can't not put it up there.
Before we get any deeper into this.
You're going to want the second part of this, though.
Okay.
The second I put Ministry of Darkness on here.
All right.
You know why?
Why?
The same reason. They're both terrible units that only existed because of the main character.
That's fair. Okay, so I don't know anything about the Japanese one, which I assume is a bunch of women.
All you needed to know is the personality of the unit was Hannah. All
right.
And when she's gone, there's no... The magic is gone.
Fair enough. The Ministry of the Darkness, however. The Ministry of Darkness I can go all into the detail of.
It kind of has the same problem, though.
Yes. Yes, it does. One thing came out of the ministry that fucking shined outside of it, and that was the acolytes.
But they had to change their name.
Well, kind of. They
had to change their character.
They had to change their gimmick, for sure. They had to stop writing fucking runes on their chest and just become fucking thugs for hire.
And Undertaker had to become a biker.
Yeah. So the Undertaker, who is an undead wizard, he's an undead wizard. He's a necromancer. He's a wrestling necromancer. Yeah. That's his gimmick.
But he became real evil in 1998 for some reason.
He became the leader of a cult, and he started kidnapping talent who was bad.
They were bad.
Bad talent who was floundering and had nothing going on, and rechristening them as new, like,
You remember Viscera?
Fucking Mabel. Was that Mabel or Mo? That was Mabel.
I don't remember, but I remember him having a Leather Daddy outfit.
Mabel from Men on the Mission, who was a 500-pound man with a mohawk. Just this giant fucking black dude with a mohawk.
Yeah.
Became Viscera, and he started wearing fucking black contacts.
And a
Leather Daddy outfit instead of his bright pink and blue and neon fucking 1990s hip-hop outfit. Phineas Godwin became Midian,
which was also terrible.
Yeah. And then Farouk and Bradshaw became the Acolytes. I think they were the first, and they were the only good ones.
No, they're good stuff.
Because they stayed Farouk and Bradshaw. They just became disciples of the Undertaker.
Yeah, Bradshaw dyed his hair black. Yeah. And they
were awesome.
Put runes on their chest.
Yeah.
And they were awesome.
And they just kind of became a satanic-themed...
Yeah.
Faction.
That
led by the Undertaker.
People on symbols that we can't say are crosses.
Yeah. On symbols.
On symbols.
They were basically they were a big T with a couple of railroad spikes through the middle.
That people may or may not have been tied to in a crucifying.
Yeah. He may have not been.
He may or may not have been crucifying people on this symbol.
Yeah. Is the other half of that faction on this list anywhere? The one that it fucking does a Dragon Ball fusion dance with?
The corporate ministry?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's just melded into one.
Do you have the corporation on there?
No, it's just one terrible entity.
Then I'm just going to go into all of it. So at the same time, there was another faction called the Corporation. That was Vince McMahon, his children, Shane and Stephanie, and his goons. And these guys called the Mean Street Posse, and basically whoever was working for Vince McMahon, whoever was Vince McMahon's lackey that week. Mick Foley was in it for a while. The Rock was in it for a while.
Trips.
Everybody was part of the fucking corporation.
Kane
at some point
was there
point.
For some reason because he got let out of a sanitarium or some crap.
Yeah. So at a certain point, there was this big old thing where the Ministry of Darkness kept talking about the coming of a higher power. And they were dragging this shit out for months and months. And then fucking finally, it was revealed that it was Vince McMahon. So if you've ever heard the famous, "It was me, Austin! It was me all along!" And then they merged these two factions into a supergroup called the Corporate Ministry.
And guess what makes it even worse? When you make it bigger.
Yeah. And then it was just ridiculous.
You had Big Boss Man and Viscera tagging together.
Yeah. This was after the Ministry literally hung Big Boss Man by the neck from a Hell in the Cell.
But you know.
Okay.
They're a team now.
Yeah. All right. Anyway, that's the Ministry of Darkness, the corporation, and the fucking Fusion Ha corporate ministry.
Yeah. God, that was terrible.
Yeah.
But I loved The Undertaker, so.
I loved all of that because that was peak wrestling, man.
Because I think I was confused when it was happening.
Yeah.
I was like, what, 11?
Yeah, that's fair.
But I'm thinking, like, wait, why? Why? This is specially able. This doesn't make any...
Yes. Fair enough.
All right. I'm going to Stardom again because I hate you.
God damn. All right.
Donna Del Mondo because of Julia and Shuri and getting heat.
I did see a Julia match at your house, and I get it. I get your love for this Julia character.
I mean, it's easy.
Yeah.
She's a bitch. In the best way.
Yeah, that's fair.
And she's also capable of wrestling.
Yeah. Yeah, she put on a hell of a match that I watched. So she had a faction? Is that the gist of it?
Yes, she has. Everybody in Stardom, besides one person, is in a faction.
Is there anything special? Like, does this faction have a gimmick like the Ministry of Darkness or Satanists?
No, their gimmick is that they hang out with Julia. Okay. And they win.
All right.
And, they're borderline bitchy.
All right. Japanese stables sound kind of boring.
Well, I mean, they're a tweener stable that maybe is a heel, but it's also the biggest face in the company. So
okay, that's weird. But
well, Julia is the biggest person in Joshi right now.
All right, that's fair.
But she also is a heel.
Yeah. All right.
So the unit's kind of...
Yeah, all right.
You can't make her a face or else I think you...
Yeah, there's not a lot of face stables.
You can't change her to being a face, I don't think, without taking the appeal away from her. She needs to be a cocky asshole until she literally just is a face.
What if Stone Cold Steve Austin'd her, where she's just still
a
villain?
That's what's going to happen.
All right, good.
It's the same thing that happened with Io.
All right.
You can't make her a heel at a certain point.
Why are these people a team?
Because everybody in Stardom's in a unit.
So there's no reason?
She picked them one by one over time.
Got it. So she was
for
like...
For certain purposes.
She's like...
She picked Suri to be her enforcer, badass kicker.
Got it.
Natsupoi's her high speed, quick person. Micah and Himika are rookies, so she brought them in to...
Kind of
you
a
need someone to eat pins.
Kind of an evolution style faction.
Yeah, that's a good. You all need right. someone to eat pins, and also
is evolution on that list?
No, you know why?
Because you're wrong about everything.
No, because you're gonna say them.
Yeah, and I wasn't, but then you just so evolution.
Yes, you love Triple H
because I know the history of evolution. Is Triple H after getting kicked out of a faction? We'll definitely talk about later, or disbanding a faction. We'll
yeah.
He's like, I need people around me.
Yeah, because
so he gets.
I'm not good enough.
Yeah, so he recruits, you know, Ric Flair, who's like the fucking, who's the icon. He's like,
well, who doesn't want to hang out with Ric Flair?
Right, he's fucking Ric Flair. If you don't know who Ric Flair is, fuck you. That's what I have to say. Woo! And then he recruits a couple of up and comers. He recruits Dave Bautista as his muscle, who everybody probably knows now as Drax the Destroyer from Guardians of the Galaxy. Mm. But 20 years ago, he was fucking Triple H's enforcer. And Randy Orton, who everybody knows as the RKO out of nowhere gif guy. Because Randy Orton was like 19 or 20 at the time.
Oh, yeah.
And the obvious future of the business.
Yeah. It's just said that the future he's inheriting is
so
dull. And
well, I mean, it's been 20 years. The future is...
He's no longer the future. Yeah. He's
just the old man now. He should start a new evolution, Randy Orton.
No, because that'd be too good. And we can't have nice things in WWE.
All right, you're right.
Who would be his Ric Flair? Would it just be Triple H?
Triple H would be his Ric Flair.
Okay. So it'd be him recruiting Triple H and two up and comers.
Triple H. God, who
it'd
would
have
he...
to be two fresh up and comers. It couldn't be anybody.
But
he'd have to
who
just
who are two fresh and up and comers.
There aren't any.
Yeah, that's
that I'm aware
problem.
Of.
Rick Boggs?
I don't even know who that is.
The guitar guy that was in NXT who now plays guitar while Shinsuke Nakamura comes to the ring.
Sounds awful.
Yeah. Well, what do you want?
What are we on? Number 8?
Yeah.
What's number 8, Andy?
The Wyatt family.
Oh.
This might be the last WWE stable of worth to mention. Because the Hurt Business lasted 5 minutes.
Yeah, that's true. So there is a wrestler named Bray Wyatt. Bray Wyatt is a hillbilly cult leader, and the Wyatt family are his hillbilly cult.
Yep.
There was two of them most of the time. Every now and then he'd recruit some whoever he was feuding with briefly into his faction. Eventually, Braun Strowman became his big muscle. But it was Bray Wyatt, this dude named Luke Harper, RIP, and this dude named Eric Rowan. And they were just big, backwater Louisiana fucking hicks. Like, they looked like they were straight out of the swamp.
Yep, and they acted like they were straight out of the swamp.
Yeah.
It was great.
Bray Wyatt would carry a fucking lantern to the ring and wear a straw trilby. And a Hawaiian shirt and white pants.
Yeah.
It was fucking awesome.
It was great.
Man, the Wyatt family was fucking awesome.
Yeah. Too bad we had to ruin it.
I mean, we ruin everything.
We could, but we ruined it.
So they started off just kind of as backwater redneck cultists, and then the longer it went on, the more supernatural they got, and Bray Wyatt ended up kind of becoming the new Undertaker.
And kidnapping the Undertaker and Kane.
Yeah. And like he started having superpowers and lightning and teleporting, and then he became an actual demon monster.
And then his unit just disintegrated.
Yeah.
I don't even remember how it broke up, because it probably didn't make sense.
It didn't matter.
They just all broke off.
Yeah.
And did nothing.
And yeah.
Well, Braun did stuff for a while, but
Braun did stuff for a while, and now he's fired. Luke Harper did stuff for a while, and then he went over to AEW and did better stuff, and then he passed away.
Yeah.
Which is just a fucking tragedy.
I don't know what Rowan's doing.
I think he got fired too. He showed up
on...
He got fired,
but I don't know if he's wrestling.
He showed up on that one episode of AEW.
Yeah.
And I don't know why they don't bring him in, because he got way... Like, he wasn't great, but he got better, and they could fucking do something with him.
I don't know if he even wants to wrestle anymore.
I would watch 100 Eric Rowan matches before I'd watch another Joey fucking Janela match.
Well, I'm sorry. Because I don't know. I don't think Rowan wants to wrestle, because he doesn't appear to be wrestling anymore.
That's fair. Maybe not. Wyatt family. Look them up. They're dope. I dressed up as Bray Wyatt for Christmas. Yeah. Or for Christmas.
Yeah, that's exactly what happened. You dressed up as Bray Wyatt for Christmas.
We're going to take that again. 3, 2, 1. I dressed up. I'm going to cut all that out. I dressed up as Bray Wyatt for Halloween one year. I looked just fucking like him. It was awesome. God damn.
I love it.
Who's next?
Oh, I just want to piss you off now.
Oh, is this more Japanese?
Yep.
Andy, the problem with your Japanese factions is...
The problem is that you just need to accept it like Dave did.
All right. But here's the thing. You got to tell me something about them other than their names and that they exist. Like, do you see how I just gave you a whole spiel on Bray Wyatt and his gimmick and why they were a faction and...
Well...
Because they were a cult and...
We're going to go to Ice Ribbon.
Okay.
To their only faction.
All right.
Rebel and Enemy.
All right.
Their unit, because they need heels.
That's it? These aren't good factions if they have no fucking purpose.
No, the purpose is Maya apparently is going to be a heel that isn't a heel because everybody loves her.
Okay.
And she's bringing in people from other companies.
Okay.
To be the enemy.
So it's kind of an invasion angle?
Kind of. All right. But in slow motion.
Okay.
You got Ram, who has been wrestling since she was like 11.
Yeah.
And she's kind of short and quick. So you got a high speed person.
Right.
Rina Yamashita is a deathmatch wrestler,
okay.
So you have a crazy person.
Sure.
And Maiko Ozaki's just kind of there.
All right.
She's big-ish and kind of strong.
You just need bodies to fill out your faction.
She's not a great wrestler. And she's kind of just there.
All right.
And I keep wanting her to be a rookie and then remembering that she's been wrestling for 6 years. It should be better than she is.
Yeah. She's Japanese fucking... Nia Jax.
Kinda.
Yeah.
Except she doesn't hurt people, but yeah.
She doesn't hurt every single person she wrestles.
But she's just kinda there to be there.
Fair enough.
And it's kinda new, so I like it.
Alright.
It's recency biased.
I mean, there's a lot of that on this list, it seems.
Yeah, well, next one isn't.
Okay.
NWO.
Wow, what number is this?
Number 6.
Not like number 3 or number 2?
No, I'm
number
mad at him.
6.
Let's remember how long this dragged out. Let's remember Silver and Black.
It's still the best thing they've ever done.
Let's remember Red. Let's remember the Wolfpack. Did you love the Wolfpack?
Let's say no. Once Sting and Lex Luger joined the NWO, it all went to shit. So everybody knows the NWO. Even if you don't watch wrestling, you've fucking seen the shirts. It's the probably second most popular wrestling shirt ever fucking made. Behind only the Austin 316 shirt.
Maybe.
Maybe.
It might be the most bootlegged shirt in wrestling.
Almost certainly. The New World Order. So here's what happened. I'm going to give the whole history of...
All right.
I'm going to give the relevant history of the New World Order. Because it went on... From 1996 until the day WCW closed its doors, and then came back for a little while after that.
I'm going to inject poison into this company.
Yeah. So Vince McMahon was not doing great in the mid-90s. WCW was doing worse, but had Turner money to try to turn it around. So a couple of Vince's fucking top guys who were headlining... name of Diesel and Razor Ramon, who were both world champions or intercontinental champions, both had like fucking headlined WrestleMania or damn close, had some of the most iconic matches of the era, like the fucking Razor Ramon's ladder match.
Which it might be one, maybe the second best ladder match ever.
Yeah, probably. Just fucking, just big, big names. They both leave WWF and then show up on WCW a few weeks later, just out of nowhere, in the crowd, talking shit, and they start calling themselves the Outsiders at first, and it's just the two of them, and then they get into a big pay-per-view match against some WCW guys. They're playing this whole angle like they're not part of the company, like they're WWF guys invading it.
Is really the linchpin of the whole thing, is... What are these people doing here?
Yeah, they don't have tickets. Here. Yeah, they play it up like these WWF guys are down here beating up all the WCW guys.
So much so that they got sued, if I remember right.
Yes, they did. Vince tried to sue for stealing gimmicks. Also, it made the WCW roster look pathetically weak because these two fucking guys came down and were basically besting their entire fucking roster. Because the perception was basically WWF was so much better, like these guys were basically C tier.
But they actually worked, instead of using that against themselves, they used it to work themselves over.
Yeah, yeah. So they set this up for a match, like WCW's biggest guys are going to fucking fend off against, there's like WCW's three biggest guys, I don't even remember who it was, we're going to fight Scott Hall, Kevin Nash, and a third mystery partner. I think the WCW guys were Macho Man, Sting, and Lex Luger,
sounds
maybe.
Right. If they weren't, they should have been.
Yeah.
Maybe DBP.
So this match is going on the pay-per-view. It's going on. And they don't have a third guy. But they're fucking kicking the shit out of everybody anyway. And they're really beating the shit out of Macho Man. Hulk Hogan's music hits. The perpetual fucking face. The ultimate fucking icon of good guyness in professional wrestling for the past decade and a half comes to the ring and everybody's like, oh, he's coming to save his friend the Macho Man, and instead he fucking big boots Macho Man, drops the leg, and joins Scott Hall and Kevin Nash in what becomes known as the New World Organization of Professional Wrestling, brother, because he fucked it up on his initial promo.
You know, when you're Hulk Hogan, you're allowed to fuck up.
And so they form the NWO, and basically the NWO's entire gimmick is that, well, we don't work for WCW. We're an outside faction just invading your show to take it over.
Constantly.
Yeah.
Literally taking it over.
Right. So like they had their own pay-per-views that were NWO pay-per-views. They had their own NWO. So basically their whole gimmick was they weren't technically WCW guys. They were just there to fuck up their company. They sold their own shirts.
Come and stop us.
Yeah. Eventually it got to the point where they stopped calling it WCW and started calling it WCW/NWO. Like they were a separate fucking entity entirely. Like it was WCW NWA.
I think we need to emphasize how important the Hogan heel turn is.
Yeah. So for anybody who doesn't understand, there was no...
Because this is my Hogan.
Yeah. In the 80s and early 90s, there was no more perpetual good guy, no more virtue, like no more symbol of American virtues than fucking Hulk Hogan. Like Hulk Hogan was the...
Take your vitamins, listen to your parents, go to bed,
say your prayers.
Homework, say your prayers.
Literally, take your vitamins and say your prayers was like his fucking catchphrase. Everybody loved him. Every little kid had Hulk Hogan shit. He was like,
the John Cena of the time, except even more babyface.
Yeah,
faces.
Because nobody booed Hulk Hogan. Fucking nobody. There wasn't a boo to be had for Hulk Hogan. So when he turned on a good guy, when he turned heel, it was like people were crying. It was such a, you could never do something this shocking in wrestling again. No. Like there'll never be a character who has...
That pure of a baby face, and then turns.
It's just impossible to ever do. Like, it was fucking unbelievable. And overnight, the NWO and Hulk Hogan's heel turn made WCW a fucking phenomenon that went on to kick the shit out of WWF in the ratings for like almost 2 years.
And then we need to emphasize that it never died.
Yeah, and then they just kept adding more and more people. It got to the point to where there was like 50 NWO members. There were like multiple factions of NWO. It was all over the fucking place, man. There was infighting. There was an NWO civil war. Then they got back together, and then there was like an NWO B team. There was,
and I believe they actually called them the B team.
Yeah, they did. It just got to the point where, like, anybody they didn't know what to do with, they would stick an NWO shirt on. Which worked for a while, but fuck, at a certain point, man, it's like, well,
at a certain point, everybody has an NWO shirt.
Yeah, we just don't care anymore.
And then WCW goes out of business.
And then WCW went tits up, and the WWF NWO isn't worth talking about.
Oh, you don't want to talk about Shawn Michaels' NWO?
I don't remember any of it. I was still watching wrestling when that happened.
Why you don't remember?
Because it sucked, and it was pointless. Because it sucked,
and Hogan turned face.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
All right. So I'm going back to Japan.
There's probably no more important stable in the history of professional wrestling than the New World Order.
But yeah, there is. There's one more.
Okay.
But it's not next. We're going back to Japan.
If it's the other one that does the two sweet, if you think that's more important than the NWO.
Important, no.
Okay. But it's fine if it's you like it better. Anyway, let's go back to Japan.
Awedo Tai, we're going back to Stardom. A month ago, this would have been number 9.
All
right. But I'm happy with them right now.
What are they doing that's making you so happy?
They stole Starlight Kid from Stars, and now she has to be a bad girl.
All right.
And that excites me.
Who's Starlight Kid?
She's probably the second babyface in the company. She's 18, 19.
Okay.
She sells a lot of merchandise. She wears a mask, real cutesy.
And she turned heel?
Well, she doesn't even want to turn heel, but they lost a loser leaves faction match, so she has to join the heel unit against her will.
Okay, that's fun storytelling.
So they're basically torturing her
by making
into
her
embracing
do...
the darkness.
Got it. All right, that's fun.
And I'm hoping they follow through on a slow corruption of her.
Where she becomes actually a bad guy?
I want her to actually become a bad guy and gain more character.
That's fun.
For the eventual face turn.
Right. When she remembers, wait, I'm a good guy.
I don't even want it to be like that. I just want it to be one day where they're beating up Mayu or something, and she just is like, enough is enough. And
all right.
That's how I would do it.
That sounds fun.
And also, no one in the unit is original.
Yeah.
It has morphed multiple times from a joke to actual heels.
All right.
Back to being a joke.
Yeah.
There's something I enjoy about the ability to not die.
Like the NWO?
Kind of, but more lovingly.
But good?
But people actually kind of like it for it instead of hate it.
Fair enough. It's like Menudo.
I don't know what the hell Menudo is.
Menudo is a Mexican boy band that, like, the band exists outside of the people in it. So, like, people just cycle in and out of Menudo. It's a teen...
Oh, so it's a K-pop or J-pop idol group.
Yeah, like, it's like a bunch of teenage boys, and then as they age out, new teenage boys replace. So it'd be like if NSYNC was still around, but it was, like, fucking a bunch of 15-year-olds now instead of the 15-year-olds who were in it then.
So, yeah, it's kind of like that. The personality unit changes kind of based on who's there.
That makes sense.
But now that they're actually kind of being heels again.
Yeah, they're fun.
I enjoy it because you need a counterpoint.
Yeah.
Someone has to just be a bad guy.
Yeah, no, I agree.
So right now I'm high on it.
All
right. In another 2 months, it could go back to... What
it
the
could
fuck
go back
you guys
to shit.
Doing?
Like, why are we even
why
here?
Why you guys fucked this unit?
Yeah.
Next, the Four Horsemen.
All right.
Kind of.
Maybe the original faction?
Probably not, but on a national stage, we're going to say yes.
I mean, they're early. Like, I have one I'm going to mention at some point that might have been around longer, but I can't say for sure. The Four Horsemen is one of the most iconic stables. It's fucking Ric Flair, Arn and Ole Anderson, and Tully Blanchard, yes. Originally. There have been other members.
Too many.
That don't matter, that don't count. But those four are the original Four Horsemen.
And they were legit heels.
Yeah.
People hated them.
Yeah.
Arn Anderson has been stabbed.
Yeah.
But also, Ric Flair is one of the greatest wrestlers ever.
Yeah.
Which is also a nice counterpoint of, you want to see this guy lose, but he is also legit one of the best wrestlers.
I would say Ric Flair is the fucking physical embodiment of what professional wrestling is.
Yes.
Like, his gimmick, his look, his fucking charisma.
He is a gimmick. He is charisma.
Yeah.
He's athletic.
He's this fucking feather-haired blonde fucking asshole who wears fucking long, flashy, feathery robes with Nature Boy written on the back. He walks to the ring and goes, "Woo!" And he talks about stealing your girl.
Magic Mountain and shit.
Spending all of his fucking millions of dollars on dumb shit. Getting drunk as shit. Arn and Ole Anderson and Tully Blanchard are basically just bodyguards there to fuck people up.
It's kind of Evolution.
For the pretty boy. Yeah. Evolution wanted to be the Four Horsemen. Desperately.
But also, no one is slacking in the group.
Yeah.
On their own, they're still badasses.
I mean, yeah. They're like some of the best tough guy wrestlers of all time.
Which some factions have not gotten.
Yeah.
We've lost it. Probably since the Wyatt family was the last one.
Yeah, that's fair.
The Shield, I guess.
Yeah.
But we never bought Roman. Did you buy Roman?
People loved Roman in the Shield because he never said anything and he didn't have to work very hard.
But did you love him, or did you love that they literally put the guy on his shoulders so he could drop
him? I didn't watch wrestling when the Shield mattered. But I think people liked Roman before he tried to carry a whole match on his own.
That's because he can't. Well, now he can.
Yeah, he's gotten better finally. But yeah. What's next?
DX.
What number are we on?
3.
All right. D-Generation X, number 3. All right. I'm already mad at you because there's somebody who's going to be above DX who definitely shouldn't be. They shouldn't have been above the New World Order, who is their entire inspiration, but they definitely shouldn't be above.
There's also the DX.
All right. Here's the history of D-Generation X, my favorite faction probably of all time. The reason I became a huge wrestling fan again in the 90s is basically all D-Generation X.
Was there a point you stopped? I just assumed you were a wrestling fan until 2008.
I watched wrestling between 1990, let's say, 4 and 1990, let's say, 8. But I wasn't into it like I was before. I wasn't into it like I was in, like, 90, 91, 92.
So there's a Hulkamania phase, and then there was a...
And then there was the D-Generation X phase. And okay. And what was called the new generation, that era of wrestling with Mantar and Bastion Booger and not really great shit.
I mean, I could see why you didn't want to watch it.
I didn't really watch a ton of wrestling then. I mean, I watched enough. Like, I went to the pay-per-view that was in Omaha where Diesel fought Shawn Michaels.
And where Undertaker and Mankind had the first match?
Yeah. Hmm. Yes. I was aware of everything that was going on, but I wasn't following it like I would later where I bought every single pay-per-view.
Was that before Raw?
Raw started in 93.
Okay.
So, basically, I missed the first few years of Raw, I would say.
You probably didn't miss much.
I probably didn't miss much.
Macho on commentary was probably the best part.
Yes. So, there was a faction in WWF, like a backstage faction, not a fucking on-screen stable, called The Click. The Click was two names you've heard already, Scott Hall and Kevin Nash, who were Diesel and Razor Ramon, and went to WCW to start the New World Order. A man named Sean Waltman, who would be in both the New World Order and D-Generation X, name of X-Pac or Six, depending on which show he was on. And Shawn Michaels, the Heartbreak Kid, the greatest professional wrestler of all time, and Triple H, Hunter Hearst Helmsley, probably the best behind-the-scenes...
Politicker?
Politicker in the history of the business.
Or do we want to give that to Hogan? They're neck and neck.
Which one owns WWF now? And which one is kept on a short leash by WWF because he says embarrassing shit?
Fair enough.
Triple H fucked his way into basically co-owning the WWE.
Yeah. You know what? So, you're right.
He's the greatest. He is the game. His gimmick is that he calls himself the game.
He became the game.
He lives the gimmick like nobody but Ric Flair before him.
Maybe even better.
Yeah.
It's just that his gimmick isn't getting drunk and having parties. His gimmick is owning wrestling.
His gimmick was owning wrestling by any means necessary, and even if that meant marrying Vince McMahon's daughter. So Triple H and Shawn Michaels, after their friends Scott Hall and Kevin Nash leave to go start the New World Order in WCW, they're kind of not doing much. Triple H is getting punished for some shit happened on those other two guys' way out. For about a year, he's not even on TV, or he's just getting squashed.
Oh, I remember he's being punished. Never mind.
Yeah, for the curtain call.
Yeah.
They all hugged at the end of a house show, and it was just a thing that didn't happen in wrestling at the time.
On a side note, imagine if Triple H wins that King of the Ring and we don't get Austin 316.
Right. Whoa. Thank God they did what they did. So anyway, after a while, Triple H and Shawn Michaels just start backstage politicking and like, no, we're just going to do whatever we want on TV. And they start hanging out and just causing problems.
Beyond hanging out, they literally won that year of Vince McMahon.
Yeah. And they start just taking wrestling from being the PG, happy-go-lucky superhero comics of the 80s and the Hulk Hogan era into what would be known as the Attitude Era by just coming on TV and making dick jokes. And they're
stuffing his shorts, literally. Yeah,
like he's got fucking the Canadian flag shoved up his nose during a match with Bret Hart. Their fucking gimmick is pointing at their dick and saying, suck it. That's like their catchphrase is two words, suck it.
They forced the evolution of PG-13 or whatever wrestling. Yeah,
they made wrestling. They're like, children, look, fuck children. Let's pander to fucking angsty teenagers.
Who have money.
Who have money. Or at least.
Or access to money.
Right. And they formed a faction called D-Generation X that was originally them two, China, and kind of Ravishing Rick Rude, but he was more just a hired muscle.
He looked amazing, though.
Yeah. He was just standing in the background in a business
suitcase looking badass.
While Triple H and Shawn Michaels, like, fucking walked around with signs that said, I'm standing at 8 inches and fucking.
Right. Or reading the list of complaints from the FCC or whatever.
Like, live on the air, they just read out loud all the things they're not allowed to say. They would fucking, like, they had a big feud with Sergeant Slaughter, who was acting commissioner at the time, and they would, like, wear these fucking face visors because. With windshield wipers, because Slaughter would just spit while he talked. Anyway, then they went on. Like, Shawn Michaels basically retired due to back issues about a year into that, and Triple H rebuilt D-Generation X with a couple of guys called the New Age Outlaws. X-Pac came over, and they just blew up in popularity. Their whole gimmick became talking shit, making jokes, doing parody shit, like they fucking all dressed up in blackface as the Nation of Domination. It's one of the funniest fucking bits in wrestling history.
Definitely happened.
Yeah, Triple H is dressed up as The Rock.
Good luck finding it, but it definitely happened.
Oh, it's on YouTube. Oh, well. It's almost certainly not on Hulu or fucking NBC app, whatever the fucking app is. Yeah. But the fucking D-Generation X are the best, man. I fucking love DX. I have like 3 D-Generation X shirts because I buy a new one every time they go on sale again. Triple H is my favorite wrestler of all time.
And also, I think I was the only person in my childhood clique that didn't like DX. Oddly enough.
Yeah, because you're broken in the face. What's wrong with you?
I liked Austin and Undertaker more.
But the DX, they said, suck it. They said, suck my dick on TV, basically.
Undertaker is hanging people.
All right, that's fair. I mean, they threw Chainsaw Charlie and Cactus Jack into a dumpster.
But I loved them.
That's fair.
The heel hate was working on me as a child. Yeah. I may have been the only one.
That's fair. That's good, though.
I'm like, wait, why are you beating up Cactus Jack?
Like, fuck you guys.
Yeah.
You're not funny.
Cactus Jack alone.
You're not, but big guys pissing on those motorcycles. That's not cool. Cactus Jack is going to fuck your day up, Triple H.
And then he does it.
Yeah.
I mean, then I'm pissed off.
Yeah. Okay.
Like, why does Cactus Jack get beat up by this little asshole?
That's fair. I get it.
And then I grew up and I was like, oh, no, this is great.
Like, oh, I get it.
Yeah, I get it now. But I was young enough that the heel he'd actually worked on me.
Oh, that's cool.
For some reason, the NWO just came off as faces to me. Came off as faces is wrong.
Yeah.
But they didn't come off like as bad. Well,
everybody
bad guys
in WCW sucked.
They just came off as, we're just better than everybody.
Yeah. Because they were.
So it didn't work as a heel thing in my mind. I'm like, that's no, fair. They're just better than everybody. Until it got watered down.
Do you remember when heel heat stopped? Like, who was the first, like, oh, I love heels? I know exactly who switched it for me. Because when I was a kid, naturally, I loved all the good guys and hated all the bad. Like, fuck Earthquake, boo. Boo, see, Sergeant Slaughter, boo.
Are we counting Austin as a face, a heel, or a tweener?
He was, by the time you would have been into him, he was probably a full-blown face, but could go either way. I mean, if heel, I don't know.
Because The Rock and Austin were just heels the whole time.
That's true, even when they were faces.
They, instead of shitting on the crowd, they were beating up on
Vince McMahon, yeah. Mine was.
So was I ever properly?
Maybe not. Maybe you've always been broken. Mine was The Undertaker.
But is Undertaker?
He was a full-blown heel.
Okay, but by the time I was forming my own thoughts as
he was
10, 11
year
old,
full-blown face by then.
But he was also became ministry guy.
Yeah,
and was a full-blown heel, and again, I still loved it.
Yeah, but he'd been his debut. He was a full-blown heel, and he was my favorite wrestler.
Well, he came out on the Million Dollar Team or whatever it was called.
He's the first guy I ever cheered for against Hulk Hogan.
Interesting.
Other than Ultimate Warrior, but that doesn't really count.
Well, that's a face.
Yeah. But
so you actually legitimately popped for this. I clearly wasn't watching.
Yeah.
As a literal baby.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Did you know that this guy was coming at all? Was there any teaser?
This is how The Undertaker debut went.
I've watched the Survivor Series, but I didn't watch the TV before.
The build-up to that was just the Million Dollar Man saying he had a secret guy. They didn't tease anything about his character. They didn't tease any. I don't think they knew who it was going to be until.
So there wasn't like some vignette of coffins or some shit?
None of that. Nothing. Okay. There was nothing about who this was. Everybody speculating that maybe it was Andre the Giant. Because the silhouette was obviously somebody large. But no, there was nothing until the second the fucking they announced him at the fucking Survivor Series.
Death Valley.
Yeah. The Undertaker. And he comes out all dressed in black. And he's fucking awesome.
You know the only...
And I instantly popped for him. And I'm like, holy shit, this is the coolest guy I've ever seen in my life.
When he came out, did you ask yourself why his brother love with him?
No, it made sense.
Did it?
Yeah.
Was Brother Love over?
Yes.
I'm asking this seriously.
Yes. Brother Love was very over and very hated. Like, he was over as a heel, but very, yes.
Okay.
Brother Love was very over. Yeah. He was a real piece of shit that people liked to fucking boo and really got under your skin when he was out there picking on people you liked.
Oh, so we feel the same about him now?
Yeah.
Oh, great.
Except for back there, it was part of the gimmick, not just because he's a shit heel who's bad at writing wrestling.
I'm Block B.
Are you blocked by Bruce Pritchard?
Yeah.
How did you get blocked by Bruce Pritchard?
I tweeted him who wrote this shit.
And he didn't...
I tweeted him who booked this shit.
And he didn't think that was funny?
No.
God damn, why did none of these guys have a sense of humor about themselves?
Well, because now that he's working in the Fed again, he's all butthurt.
What? Yeah, that's fair.
When he's on his own and he's sleeping and not wallowing and Vince yelling at him,
yeah,
I think he can see the humor and everything.
Yeah.
I think he's like just a robot now. He doesn't have time for humor.
That's fair. I mean, he is being called by Vince McMahon at 2 in the morning.
Can you imagine working for Vince fucking McMahon?
I would fucking shoot myself.
Hey, pal, are you doing anything? I'm trying to sleep.
I'm sleeping, Vince. It's 3 in the fucking morning, you prick.
What if you go to bed, Vince?
Yeah, what if you took a fucking nap, you old bastard?
What if you just put Triple H in charge? How about that?
What if you fucking retire? Yeah. Vince McMahon doesn't sleep. This isn't a gimmick. Like, he sleeps 1 or 2 hours a night. He's a fucking machine. That's like a real story. Like Bruce Prichard, who has been a backstage like writer and fucking just fucking management at WWF since the 80s, off
coming
and on.
Coming and going since the 80s, but...
Tells stories of like he'll be in bed at 2:30 in the morning and Vince will just call him at 2:30 in the morning because Vince has no concept of time.
Time or humanity, yeah. Or employment.
And if he's working, you're working, pal.
God, can you imagine?
What a nightmare. It's not, I don't, I'm okay. I mean, he pays millions of dollars. Maybe I would,
you know,
put up with it.
Maybe for a year or so.
I'd do it for a year or two and then be like, Vince, I'm out.
Vince, I'm sorry.
I'd Vince Russo out of it. I understand why Vince Russo
I'm going
fucking
to TNA.
Went crazy.
I'm going to TNA and I'm going to put some guy on a pole.
Bro. All right. Number two?
Yes. Which is probably my actual favorite faction of now.
But you didn't
put... But I made this whole list to get heat with you.
Yeah, okay. It's going to work. Who's your number two?
Queen's Quest.
All right. All you now, buddy. You're wearing a Queen's
Quest
shirt right now.
Because Io Shirai is my queen.
All right.
I love her.
Okay.
I love her unit.
Yeah.
I love everybody in it.
What was their gimmick?
The gimmick is she was turning heel, kind of, because she couldn't turn heel.
Okay.
And she was corrupting young, let's call them lionesses.
All right. You're going to have to explain people what lions are.
In Japan, there's kind of a young lion is a term for a young wrestler.
Like rookies, kind of?
They could be rookies, but rookie in Japan kind of could be like a 3-year-plus gimmick.
Yeah, okay.
So she was corrupting more or less face people.
And turning them heel?
Yeah. She was breaking up tag teams.
Hmm.
Momo is in a tag team with Jungle.
Yeah.
Like Jungle literally helped her for homework and stuff because she's 16 or whatever. And Io gets her to come join her.
So she's basically like mean girlsing and fucking taking all these like good guys and being
she's like, hey, Hazuki, you should be with me.
All right.
Because... I'm the queen, and I'm going to make you great.
Yeah, all right.
And I'm pretty sure it's supposed to be a heel gimmick.
Yeah, but how can you not fucking
but
think that's
awesome?
But no
one boos Io.
Right.
So they just kind of became tweeners.
That's fair.
I love the inter-unit rivalries. I love when one of them wins a belt, they all try to take it from her.
Yeah.
I like the strongest, the survival of the strongest kind of thing.
Yeah.
I like that. I like that it's maintained.
So is that kind of their gimmick, is whoever's the champion is the leader?
No. That gets kind of confusing.
Okay.
Because when Io was originally there,
yeah,
first she said no one was the leader, and then she said Izumi was the leader, and Izumi was 14.
Okay.
Which I interpreted as, screw you, we're not going to tell you who the leader is, even though I'm clearly the leader, because... I'm Io Shirai.
Because I'm Io fucking Shirai, right.
But fuck you guys.
All right.
And then Momo pretty much became the leader, even though she is the most pushed person in the unit now.
All right.
Which is kind of weird.
Well, Io Shirai's in WWF now, so.
Well, Io's totally gone.
Right.
So.
Is the faction still around, though?
Yep.
Nice.
Because.
Is it still doing the same thing where
exactly
it just kind of.
Exactly the same thing.
Like, oh, up-and-coming good guys? Why don't you come be up-and-coming bad guys instead? Nice.
Saya Kamatani. Is leaving rookie status.
Yeah.
And she just won the Cinderella tournament.
Yeah.
And she's going to face her trainer, Tam Nakano, at the next pay-per-view.
All right.
Which is the Momo Io storyline.
Good.
I don't think they're going to go... We'll see how far into it they go. But I like history repeating itself.
Yeah. I mean, that's what wrestling does best.
It should be what it does best.
When wrestling is at its best, it's usually just, like, recycling old shit.
But if you do it right, no one cares.
But if you do it right, yeah. Also, if you do it right, you can tell a fucking decades-long story. Like, if Randy Orton used Triple H to start a new evolution.
His new Ric Flair would be amazing.
Yeah, because it would be a decades of fucking continuity there.
Oh, that'd be great.
Yeah.
And the units lasted, what, since 2016?
Jesus Christ.
I like longevity in a unit.
Yeah, there's not many units that actually... Like, NWO didn't even, like, because it split up and vanished and came back a few times in the 4 or 5 years it was around, so, but to just be a solid unit for that long is...
I like that people have come and gone.
Yeah.
For the opposite reason that I kind of love Oedo Tai. I like this unit because this unit has not changed other than the people in it very much.
Yeah.
It has the same gimmick of the strongest, survival the strongest.
All right.
And we just want to collect belts.
Fair enough.
And I kind of like it for that.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Which is the opposite reason I like a Wato tie, because a Wato tie is inconsistent as fuck.
All right.
But you in a company, you need...
Yeah.
You can't have everybody being stale the whole time.
Right.
So, are you ready for...
Yeah, tell me your number one, because I'm going to just...
You just want to say it?
No.
It's for life.
No, it isn't. We already did them.
No, this one's for life, though.
Oh, my God.
Because those other ones died.
Yeah.
You don't want to two-sweep me?
Nope. Not for this.
You don't want to...
Who's your number one faction of all time, you fucking idiot?
Bullet Club. You know why?
To piss me off.
Also that, you know what? This is your favorite units all in one. All
right, I'm going to tell everybody who the Bullet Club is, and then you can explain how I'm not right. So,
yep.
In the 90s, Hulk Hogan and the Outsiders formed a faction called the New World Order. It fundamentally changed professional wrestling.
So well.
The New World Order fundamentally changed professional wrestling and was so iconic to wrestling fans that everybody who's become a wrestler since then has wanted to be in the New World Order or D-Generation X, has wanted to be the Click. Everybody who's become a wrestler since the fucking 90s, anybody who grew up watching wrestling in the 90s and is now a wrestler just wants to be Shawn Michaels or Scott Hall or Kevin Nash.
Mm-hmm.
They just want to be the Click.
Yeah. Guess what?
So a bunch of fucking white guys went to Japan and did the NWO gimmick all over again in Japan.
And it's wonderful.
And they do the two sweet gang sign. They do the for life.
Yeah.
They all pat themselves on the back because... Yeah. It's basically like if a bunch of fucking NWO fanboys started the NWO in a backyard wrestling. Tell me where I'm wrong.
I don't. This is just recycling storylines. I don't know why you don't love it.
This is
NWO and DX put together.
I would probably love it if I watched Japanese wrestling. I'm going to be honest. It's just you can't put them at number one over those other guys.
Yeah, I can. I just did.
They should be number three. It should be 3-2-1. Should be Bullet Club, DX, New World Order on your list.
You know why?
Go on.
Because this way it gets more heat.
That's fair.
It's wonderful.
Who started Bullet Club originally?
Finn Balor and Carl Anderson.
Was it Finn Balor?
Yep.
All right. Finn Balor was the original leader?
Yes.
Finn Balor, Carl Anderson, and Doc Gallows, I assume?
Nope. Gallows wasn't there yet.
Wow.
Tama Tonga was the young boy.
All right. How has Tama Tonga never come over to anywhere over here? Or was he in Ring of Honor?
Well, I mean, Ring of Honor has excursions.
Like, how has he not been on WWF or AEW?
You'd have to ask Tony Khan about that.
Weird. Anyway, tell me the story of Bullet Club, how they formed and why.
Why? Because Finn Balor's a dick.
Okay.
They just started turning on their tag team partners.
All right.
Literally.
Nice.
They just put the gun symbol to the head, and then the other ones would come out and beat up the other tag partner, and then they would too sweet.
And then they'd be part of the Bullet Club? So, two guys who are a tag team would be having a match.
Literally, like we were having a match together against somebody else.
And then in the middle of
nowhere?
Halfway
through the match, I just put gun fingers to your head, and the other guys stomp the shit out of you. Then we put on our shirt together and too sweet.
Okay, you know what? You just sold me on the whole gimmick because I didn't know that part of it. That's fucking amazing.
And then you do that a couple times to get your members.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Eventually, Doc Gallows shows up.
Right.
I'm trying to remember when the Young Bucks show up.
Who cares? The Young Bucks don't count.
Young Bucks show up and stuff.
Kenny Omega at some point is the
AJ
leader.
AJ Styles leaves TNA because they wouldn't pay him.
All right.
They jump out Finn Balor when Finn Balor signs with WWE.
All right.
And then AJ becomes the leader.
Okay.
And then AJ gets jumped out by Kenny.
When he joins WWE, probably.
Yes.
All right.
But Kenny comes in to be the junior heavyweight guy.
All right.
When he came in as the cleaner.
Yeah.
And then, I don't know, 6 months or a year or so. So they just keep cycling in new people.
Yeah. It's like the NWO except for forever.
Except for forever.
And there's fucking
New Japan
factions.
Might go out of business.
There's
someday.
Also factions all over the fucking place because there was a Ring of Honor NW or fucking Bullet Club for a while.
And AEW is Bullet Club.
Yeah. AEW started as a Bullet Club pay-per-view, yes. didn't it?
Yes.
Like, wasn't that its original yes. gimmick, was that it was a Bullet Club pay-per-view? Yes, it was.
So,
fuck, I forgot
even,
about that.
They're even more of the click than the click.
Yeah. Fuck. The Bullet Club did the thing NWO's gimmick was trying to do, which is start their own branded fucking wrestling promotion. That's crazy.
But then they kind of dropped the ball when...
Huh.
Yeah.
Weird.
So you hate it. But also,
all right.
they did all the things that those other groups
you,
were
you completely
doing.
Just fucking changed my mind on the Bullet Club. What an awesome stable. All right, maybe they should be
number
one.
And they also
one.
Did the t-shirt gimmick.
I like it. Yeah.
There is probably half as many Bullet Club shirts as NWO.
But
shirts.
There's a ton of them. I see them fucking everywhere, man. Also, variants, where instead of Bullet, they'll say yep. something else club.
Oh, yeah. When anybody joins that's worth anything, they kind of...
They get their own shirt. Fucking variant.
Yeah. There was a Hangman one and a Cody yeah. one. And
Is Kenta still the leader?
No. I think they want to do a Civil War again.
Yeah.
But I don't think they want to now.
All right.
I think they want people and all the people being able to be there.
Fair enough. At a certain point, they started letting Japanese people in. And I'm like, well, that's weird. The whole point was it was all fucking gaijin.
But the first one made sense because it got heat.
Yeah. All right.
Yujiro turning and becoming the Tokyo Pimp got heat.
Yeah.
The gimmick kind of goes away when there's more.
Yeah, when it's... Yeah, yeah. When the whole point was it was supposed to be a gaijin invasion of Japanese
with
wrestling.
With the one traitor, it makes sense.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
When Kenta's there, too, you're like, well...
Yeah.
Okay.
Like, all right, so this is all just right. another faction now.
Yeah, put the guy to sleep, I guess.
Yeah. Not a big Kenta fan. I thought he was overrated. I think a lot of these Japanese guys are overrated. Some of them are good. Io Shirai, I get. Io Shirai is as good as they say. And I just think fucking Shinsuke Nakamura is overrated. Is the end of that sentence.
Okay.
That's editing on the fly, Andy.
You don't like Io Shirai?
I do. I started that out by saying Io Shirai is the best. Jesus Christ. I realized that there was a fucking 10-minute bathroom break there.
I need more than I need more than the best.
Anyway, there are a million factions we could have gone over on this list that we didn't. Most of them don't need to be named. There is the Hart Foundation probably should deserve a name drop because they were
talk
fucking
about the
awesome.
Nation.
The Nation of Domination was fucking cool.
Now, what version of the Nation are you
oh,
most
the Rocks,
fond of?
The Rock's version, where The Rock was the leader.
I thought
and
you were
D.L.
going
Brown.
To say the first... Okay, in-ring, the first one.
Fucking Farouk and
Owen Hart? Farouk?
Owen Hart wasn't in the original. He was in The Rock's Nation.
Was he?
Yeah.
I have him in my mind. I have this reversed.
No, Kona Crush was in the original version.
Well,
I think.
I can see why you don't like it then.
Yeah. No, none of those factions matter, Andy. The only faction who wasn't on your list that transcends your list, it's above your list, better than.
Yeah, I'm listening.
Is a faction known as the Heenan Family. The most important faction in the history of factions. Bobby the Brain Heenan was a manager and commentator who, in the 80s, was the manager of Andre the Giant, the Warlord, fucking Dino Bravo, a million other fucking wrestlers. And they were called the Heenan Family. Anybody who was with Bobby the Brain Heenan was part of the Heenan Family. And if anytime shenanigans needed to go down... The Heenan Family were the original, like, NWO-type faction where the whole fucking Heenan Family would come into the ring and fuck somebody up.
Now, I want to see the timing of this and the Horsemen.
It would have probably been similarly timed. The Horsemen might have been around earlier. I don't know if they were around in the 70s. So, the Horsemen might have been earlier than the Heenan Family. But the Heenan Family was a faction for fucking ever.
The Heenan Family was on the largest syndication wrestling program.
Yeah.
So...
It was also on every other wrestling program Bobby Heenan ever worked in. Because he was Bobby the Brain Heenan, and he worked fucking everywhere. And he managed wrestlers everywhere. And I fucking always, you know, I always hated the Heenan Family because that was, you know, they were fucking assholes and they would always like be jumping Hulk Hogan or whoever I liked. And I'm like, why isn't somebody helping him? Where's like Ultimate Warrior or something?
Okay.
Getting
so
that real heel heat.
I want to say the Attitude Era save not a, when did that become a thing?
It happened back then, but very rarely.
I remember Macho or Hogan coming out to save Macho at,
yeah.
Was that Maine?
Fuck, I don't, I couldn't tell you.
I remember watching the one where Hogan comes to save Macho from the Honky Tonk Man.
Yeah. But that
I'm
was
just curious when in the Attitude Era it would happen
all the time.
So you'd look at the ramp to see who was coming down.
Yeah. So basically the 80s, I think they're more of the, they want the hero to be the, to stand alone against all these odds. So eventually Hulk Hogan would be getting beaten down by 10 guys and maybe he wouldn't win that night, but the next time he went up against them, he'd overcome them all. And I think it was more about that than the pop of a fucking run-in to save them back then. It would happen occasionally, like the Hulk Hogan Macho thing, but it didn't happen real often in the 80s and 90s that I can remember.
Was there a John Cena-esque repulsion of Hulk ever?
No.
Like, not even in a live show?
No.
Like, the older people wouldn't be like, fuck this
fuck
guy.
Fuck no, man. That's not how wrestling was in the 80s. People who watched wrestling in the
80s... There is an age gap here where I don't know if I've ever had a pure baby face.
Yeah, so the question is... So there's a wrestler named John Cena now who is basically 50-50 cheered and booed. He's the biggest baby face in wrestling, but just as many people hate him because he's the biggest baby face in wrestling, because wrestling fans are all kind of fucking smarmy, fucking sarcastic smarks now.
I kind of want to see John Cena... When he is when he's around, I kind of want to see him lose.
Yeah.
When he's not around, you want to see him come be triumphant.
Right. Yes.
But after a while, you're kind of like sick of him.
Nobody was like that for Hulk Hogan.
Okay.
People just loved him.
The concept is hard for me to grasp because I've never experienced it.
Everybody loved him. Everybody. It doesn't matter. Hulk Hogan was fucking over. You cheered for him. If he was getting beat up, you booed against him.
This level of kayfabe is foreign to me.
Look, Hulk Hogan was so fucking over that after 10 years of being a villain, he was fighting The Rock, who was the ultimate babyface, and got The Rock booed.
Yeah, that was Canada.
It was Canada, who are 20 years behind. But, I mean, that's just kind of a testament to, like, nobody booed the Hulk. Which is why the NWO changed the way kind of heels worked, because... Even though he was technically a bad guy and got boos, everybody still fucking loved him.
They still wanted to see Hogan win inside.
Everybody still bought NWO shirts because it was Hulk Hogan. And it's impossible not... Hulk Hogan went on a fucking racist N-word tirade.
And he kind of gets booed now.
And he gets a couple of boos now.
He gets a lukewarm reception now compared to a pop.
But... Anybody else who had that level of racism revealed about them isn't getting
chased out of the building.
Right. Isn't getting any fucking positive. He's fucking Hulk Hogan, man. He's unparalleled in the business in terms of how much of a face he was.
I just like having the conversation of...
Yeah.
Because kayfabe is
has a never
limited
been a
thing
to
me.
You. Right.
My Hulk Hogan is this... slarmy asshole.
Yeah, no, he was if the crowd reacted to John Cena how Vince McMahon wanted them to react, that's who Hulk Hogan was.
God, did Hulk Hogan ruin Vince McMahon's ability to book?
yes is the answer to that.
Like, he got away with Stone Cold just out of sure will of Stone Cold and The Rock.
Yeah. Yes, no, Hulk Hogan is why Vince McMahon thinks he can make stars like that, because he thinks he did it by himself. He doesn't appreciate...
No, Vern Gagne made Hulk.
He doesn't appreciate the cult of personality that is Terry Bollea. Like, the man is...
He had a cartoon.
He's liquid fucking... He's fucking human charisma. Like, The Rock is the only wrestler ever who's had the fucking charisma of Hulk Hogan. He's just impossible not to fucking love. That's why he doesn't have to do anything in the ring but fucking poses and you cheer for him. He's fucking he's like a walking fucking, like, you're just hypnotized by his charisma into fucking loving the man.
Except I wasn't. I was hypnotized into just wanting him to do shitty things like whip people with his weight belt. So maybe I was.
Yes, you were. It's the same thing. Just because you wanted to see him do the bad guy shit instead of the good guy shit, you still loved him and wanted to see it. You still fucking owned an NWO shirt.
Yep.
You're still pretending.
I do have an NWO shirt.
You're still pretending like the Bullet Club is the best faction it for stealing his entire gimmick.
They stole it. Which is the best wrestling compliment ever.
Yeah. So yes, Hulk Hogan is, I mean, he's unparalleled. Like, if he had been a politician, he'd be fucking king of the world,
well,
man.
Well, until he made a sex tape.
Well, I don't know, man. I bet he'd still get voted for president if he actually ran.
Well, Donald Trump won.
There you go. You got anything else you want to add about factions, Andy, or are we good to go?
No, I think we're good to go. Vince, right. Make factions that don't suck. Why'd you kill the Hurt Business?
Yeah. Thanks for listening.